Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here. Just looking for a place. Usually I stick pencils in my ear, but doesn't look very professional, I guess so. At least not here. Tomorrow it'll look professional when I'm at work. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why you deemed to save us, why you sought us when we were wandering from you, and why you continue to seek after us when we wander from you. Lord, why we're not more devoted. All these are things we wonder and marvel at, is your great love. So Father, I pray again this morning for help. I don't want what I say to be anything from me, Lord. I want it to be all from you and your Holy Spirit. Pray this now in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, good morning again. And want to continue on some of the thoughts from last week. And I don't know how many of you remember what was shared about my desire to get back into shape, because just after a long winter of sitting around the house, not really exercising or doing anything to keep myself in shape, you know, I could feel the drain physically that I had, and it caused me to wonder, well, where am I at spiritually with the Lord? Where have I relied too much on my past walk with the Lord to carry me through currently? And any of you who know, who've been walking with the Lord, it's not, you can't be Arnold Schwarzenegger one week and then be, I don't know, who's a wimpy guy, you know, the next week. Yeah. Thank you, Jake. It doesn't work like that. It is a constant needing to work out. It is a constant thing we have to do. We know, you know, I because of my profession, I work in people's homes constantly, and I see the deterioration that happens with homes. You can have the best builder, you can have the best materials, you can have ideal conditions. Eventually, that home is going to break down and it's going to need repair. The same with us. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, but yet sometimes we don't always partake of the best materials, right? Sometimes Pringles taste better than grapes. Sometimes, you know, a bag of Doritos sounds better than a bowl full of lettuce. You know, and as a result, our health does not match what it should be. Now we know, in this life, because of sin, our bodies are going to break down. They're just going to break down, no matter what. But my favorite shirt that I ever saw, that I always tell Josh, this when he was little, and he would want to give up, I've never bought this shirt. It is because it's my favorite. You've probably seen it. It's the pelican trying to choke down a frog, and the frog is just choking the daylights out of that pelican, and it says, "Never give up." And we must never give up. Never give up. And just because age is going to set in, health is going to deteriorate, all these things, does that mean we go, there's nothing we can do about it, just forget it, you know? And so that's how I address this. And I want to look at our spiritual fitness. And we addressed it last week. And so I want to look at, what are we taking in? What are we consuming today? What are the things that are keeping us from being of optimal spiritual health? And I just want to start out with this, maybe as our key verse in Romans chapter 12. I'm sure there are some. Who can quote for me Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? Very good. And not because I didn't think you did a good job, Sally, but because I could barely hear you because I got this vent up here. Did everybody hear, Sally? I think it would do it. Where am I going? Sorry, I get all flustered up here, and then my brain somewhere else. I'll just read it out loud so we can hear it nice and clearly. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that's what we like to call ourselves, right? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That you know, that's hard. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You know, this world all the time is trying to get us to change our opinions, change how we feel about things. I marveled to people. I said, you know, I remember the good old days when a tranny was your transmission, and now we, you know, things are getting worse and worse and progressing so much faster at almost a blurring rate. I mean, what was taboo when I was a kid? I mean, think about it. Shacking up. That was like, can you know these guys? They're shacking up. You know, it's like, you know, whisper. That's a terrible thing. And I'm not trying to dismiss or say that it's not that bad, because it is bad. It's still bad. God is still God, right? He hasn't changed in eternity past. I'm trying to assign an age. But God is still eternal. God is sovereign. He has not changed at all. His standards are still where they are. And just because we want to grade ourselves on a curve, we want to define deviancy down to a level so that we're not so bad as our neighbor, we're not so bad as the next guy, we do ourselves no favors by allowing these things and allowing the culture to define things. Because what is acceptable to God is what we've read here, is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And it's our reasonable service. And so we need to change our thinking, make sure that what we are doing, how we are living, agrees with Scripture and not the norms of society. Anyhow, let's turn from there to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I hope we're all trying to win the prize in our walk, that we all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we get to be with the Lord. Some of us are going to hear it, some of us aren't. And it really all depends on how we run our race here in life. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And I always think, you know, if I'm saying one thing with my mouth, but doing a completely different thing with my life, it's going to make me disqualified. It's going to make me not have anybody want to listen to the gospel if I try to share it with other people. Again, the passage, I've mentioned it before, and I can't think of it, I just thought of it now, but in Proverbs, where it says, a man who stumbles before the world is one who offers murky water, you know, dirty water to people to drink. What is refreshing to the world if they see in us no difference from the rest of the world? So we need to make sure that we are disciplined and that we bring our lives into subjection of God's word. And it's easy for me to stand up here and preach and say that. It's a whole nother thing for me to live it. It's a whole nother thing for us to live it. And yet it is that daily presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice before the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this morning, I just want to throw this out there. None of these things I'm going to share today are new. You all know them. You've all read them. I assume most all of us have read them. And just even if we haven't read them, they should make common sense. They should be natural thoughts. I mean, it's funny as we listen to the world, and I don't know what, every month or two come out with a new study saying coffee's good for you, and then the next thing you know, coffee's bad for you, and you eat too many raisins and your hair's going to fall out. That's not how it happened to me. But the world goes back and forth on nutrition, and it goes back and forth on how we can live things. All those things we know, I mean, what has changed about losing weight? Anything? No. You eat so many calories, you work off so many calories. And if you want to lose weight, well, guess what? The calories have got to stay here, and the working off has to come up above it. It's so simple. But yet we try to, convince ourselves, well, too many fats are bad for you, and this is okay. And then the world gets confused and it can't make up its mind. And it was telling us years ago margarine was great for us, and they're so full of baloney because that's a man-made fat. That anyhow, I'm not a nutritionist, but I study it in my spare time. Anyhow, let's look at 2 Timothy. That's my bad tendency is trying to keep me straight and on one solid straight path and not, this looks interesting over here. Anyhow, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." It used to be a common household item to have a spittoon. Has anyone gone through Bed Bath & Beyond and seen a spittoon lately? No, because it's a vessel of what? Dishonor. Yeah, who wants that in their house? I mean, yuck. Those in the medical profession here know another thing, a bedpan. Hey, who wants that sitting around? Do they still have them anymore? Okay, yeah, I didn't know if it was just colostomy bags or that sort of thing. I don't know. But anyhow, sorry, I don't like to talk about that. But that's a vessel. And it's a vessel of dishonor, because not of what it is, but what goes inside of it is what dishonors it. Okay? And yet, you would be horrified if you came to dinner at my house and we brought out a roast beef in a bedpan, wouldn't you? I mean, horrified. That's why there are vessels of honor. The meals, the things, the nice things go on the nice vessels. Okay, if you want to be useful to the Lord, make sure you're cleaned up. Make sure you're living the way you can live. Some of the things that we have to ask ourselves, if the Lord's not using me the way I think he should be using me, it's not him. It's not him. He wants to work through you. It's you. It's me. So let's make sure that we're cleaned up. And one of the things that I worry about is, where are we letting our minds go to? Because that's where it all starts, is in our minds. We say the heart, but it's the same thing. out of the abundance of the heart, so the mouth speaks. I trust none of you want to go work out in that gym that's down on the Bayfront, in the Bayfront connector. You know, that one that as you drive by, you kind of hold your breath. Or, you know, nobody's doing laps in those pools, I trust, right? Nobody wants to. It's the water treatment plant for anybody who doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Why wouldn't you go swimming in that? Because of what you would be swimming in. Okay, so where do you let your mind swim? Where do you let your mind go? I purposefully stay away from social media. And if you're, and I trust probably most people here are involved in some way. Although I do like YouTube, you know, because I like to find different, you know, videos and such. But yet, even there, I have to be careful because I know my passions. I know what gets me worked up and carried away. And too often, I will let things bother me and I'll get all fired up and what is this? You know, why are we? And I have to go, whoa, 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 easy there, fella. Easy. Calm down. You know, because the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God, does it? And what good am I if I'm going around yelling and screaming and carrying on about the things of the world and I have to get myself in check and realize, you know, that's not where the Lord really wants me to be getting fired up about. And I haven't, you know, personally, I just by talking with people who are on social media, they said one of the dangers is getting carried away in arguments with people. My brother told me about a guy who was, you know, he was trying to have a conversation on Facebook with him, which I think I've had enough trouble with people understanding my text messages, thinking I'm saying one thing and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? I, you know, that's not at all what I was meaning to say. So I can imagine it's just amplified on Facebook because it's not just you and that other person having the conversation. It's everybody who can see it. And so I think the danger with social media is lack of understanding what the other person is trying to communicate, whether they're able to communicate it well or not, or it's you being able to understand, but also all the other influences that are on it. I have an uncle, and he puts, from what I've heard, some not so nice things on his Facebook page, and I won't go into it. I'll just say he spends a lot of time in the Southeast Asian country, and I'll let you, we'll stop there. And so there's a lot of dangers out there, a lot of pitfalls, a lot of things where if we're not careful, I mean, when you wander away from the Lord, did you like purposely step away from him? Or were you just not paying attention to what you were doing? And that's the thing. We need to be purposeful to stay close to the Lord, to be fed by him. Let's turn to, trying to think, second chapter of Colossians. That's where I'm going. The problem with some of these smaller Pauline epistles is you just turn a few pages and you've blown way past where you want to go. Let's start in verse 16 just for context. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not yet seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And here's the key, the 19th verse. And not holding fast to the head from whom all the body, that's us, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. The only way you and I are going to grow is by being in God's Word all the time. It comes down to as simple as my favorite Sunday school song I like to have everybody sing, and I've had us do it a couple times, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And we won't do the motions. That's not appropriate now. But it is simple as that. And another thing that God's Word does is let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I so appreciated what Brian shared this morning because it worked it kind of concurred with these thoughts that I have from in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Just think of that. Someday we're going to be without sin. I won't recognize myself. Not to not have any more sinful thoughts, not have any more sinful attitudes, not have any more sinful deeds, that will be. But in the meantime, how do we keep ourselves clean from the word? By letting God's word wash over us to cleanse us from all iniquity, and that we might present ourselves before him, not just to be before him, but to present ourselves as an offering to him, to present our lives before him. So that's the thing. If we feel dirty, if we feel unfit, probably true, and the best thing we can do is not run away from him, but is to run to him, get in his word, and to focus on him. Again, many pitfalls, not just social media, not just, you know, the radio, not just TV, but with all of these things. I know I've said it before and I'll repeat it again, with all these things, and I need to remember this as much as anyone else, all these devices have one thing in common. They all have a power button. You can turn them off. But this thing, you have to open to see the power. Philippians 4, and this is what I will close with too. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." And I know there have been brothers here who have mentioned this, and brothers in other assemblies I've heard who have said, what do all these adjectives have in common? What do all these things have in common? Who do they best describe? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him capture your thoughts. I am probably the most, so distracted personality. You know, I can think of things like that. It's like popcorn going off in my head, and different things can capture my attention, and usually not for very long, because something else will take it. And it is, so for some of us, it's a little more difficult to hold on to something, to meditate onto something, but to think on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to train ourselves to think of different aspects. I mean, just go through this. Maybe spend a day or an hour, you know, or 5 minutes, like me, if that's all my mind can hold on to for 5 minutes, is think of the truth that is in God. Think of the things that are noble in Christ. Think of how just Christ is and how pure he is, and try to incorporate these things, put them into our own lives, so that we would be good reflectors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you so much for your Son. Lord, as we've read, who is the head of the body. And Lord, I pray that just as you have told us, that we can do nothing without you. We can't be fed without you, without being attached to you. We cannot grow without being attached to you. We can have no fruit without being attached to you. So, Father, let us remember that you are the vine and we are the branches. We give you thanks now in Christ's name. Amen.